Can we all please stand for the gospel reading? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Some of you may recall that last week, despite all my personal efforts to putting a stop to it, I became older. It was my birthday. And as I reflected upon the fact that another year had passed in my book of life, I had somewhat the inevitable self-conversation on what has changed as I got older. The first thing I recognised in conversation with myself is that I was tending to talk to myself more often. I also came across what I suspect was the normal evolving observations in my life, such as, you know what? It's been quite some time since I've had the urge to go clubbing or partying. To be quite honest, the thought of going clubbing and partying now just makes me want to go and have a bit of a nap. Going for a run around the oval has evolved to a gentle jog and more often than not now, an enjoyable walk. I have found myself that I may be tending to forget things more frequently and have found myself using diaries and notebooks to remind me of important things. At this point, I don't mind the use of diaries and notepads. I don't think my memory is all that bad quite yet. But when friends suggested that I get this tattoo, as a good reminder, then it got me thinking. Slow down fast. Now, this may give us a bit of a giggle, but the need to be reminded about things is a part of life. Particularly when our lives show that we are forgetting about very important things that should remain constant in our lives. In biblical studies, there's a discipline known as biblical historical criticism. Now, don't let the term confuse you. It's definitely not a practice that attempts to erode or undermine the value of God's written word. Biblical historical criticism is simply the approach of studying, evaluating, and critically assessing the Bible as literature in order to understand it better. One of the aspects of that biblical historical criticism is the question, who was the audience of that particular piece was written for? Now, while this usually refers to a specific time, place, or group of people, one question that I sometimes feel gets overlooked is whether God, in his grand design of the Bible, meant for the stories, the Psalms, and the parables not only be relevant for that particular time, but for all time. Asking the question, is what is written just as relevant for us today as what it was in the time that it was written? Then whoever reads God's words, regardless of time or era, will find relevance and meaning. The Bible is a book that encompasses our relationship with God as it guides, strengthens, and encourages all who come to read it, regardless of the constraints of time. So be mindful of the concept that the lessons and messages found in the Bible are not bound by time. The question worth considering is, has God in his wisdom and design, coupled with his understanding of human nature, placed in the Bible important reminders that are just as relevant today as were they the day they were written? This morning we heard the famous parable of the Good Samaritan from the Gospel of Luke. Alongside the parable of the prodigal son, it is perhaps the most well-known parable in both Christian and secular societies. The story of the Good Samaritan certainly has found its place in Western society. It has inspired painting, sculpture, satire, poetry, photography, and film. Many hospitals and charities are named after the Good Samaritan, and the phrase Good Samaritan is well used to describe somebody who goes and helps a stranger. But while it does not take much to remind society of the story of the Good Samaritan, how many of us remember the lessons found in the Good Samaritan? After just hearing the gospel reading, we have just been reminded of the story. Now let's refresh our memories of the lessons the parable of the Good Samaritan holds. The parable begins with the lawyer asking Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So let's begin with the lawyer. Now, some may say that the lawyer questioned Jesus to trick him, but just for this purpose, let's presume that the lawyer was just trying to build up a bit of credentials with this really cool young rabbi called Jesus. After all, the first question is the first reminder found in the parable of the Good Samaritan. It reminds us of what we have to do to inherit eternal life. The lawyer correctly quotes Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 and Leviticus 19, 18 and answers, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. The first commandment emphasizes humans' relationship to God and requires faith. The second commandment emphasizes humanity's relationship with other humans and is the practical result of that faith. In answering the first question so well, I'm guessing that at this stage, the lawyer's feeling pretty good about himself and asks a brilliant question. And who is my neighbor? Let's pause for a second. Because what the lawyer has asked Jesus is a significant question, but it's just as important now as it was then. So then, who can tell me who is my neighbor? How do we determine who our neighbor is? Anybody? Who's my neighbor?
Everybody.
Well, who was that? Where did that come from? Thank you. The answer was, of course, And as the kids so perfectly answered, anybody. As we know, the answer to who my neighbour is lays within the parable that Jesus gave to the lawyer, and with the one we just heard. Jesus tells the story of a man badly beaten and left for dead on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now here, I'm sorry guys, but I've really got to apologise because I find this part, the next part, a bit exciting. It shows how Jesus makes his parable so relatable, especially to those who first heard it. In this parable, Jesus has just described a man that has been attacked by robbers and has been badly beaten on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. The thing is, those that heard the parable in Jesus' time would have known about that road because it actually existed. And for those originally hearing this parable, to hear of a man badly beaten and robbed along that road would come as no surprise. The road to which Jesus was referring to is a 17-mile or 27-kilometre journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, and was considered to be the most dangerous road in ancient Israel in that time. Essentially, it was 27 kilometres of nooks and crannies for robbers to hide and escape. Dauntingly enough, the road that Jesus refers to in this parable was in reality known as the Way of Blood. And to hear of a man laying on the roadside, left for dead, would have been an all too familiar story. Back to the parable. Jesus continues with the parable by explaining that the man on the road was first approached by a priest and then by a Levite. Again, let's stop for some more clarification here to see how perfectly and deliberately Jesus presents this parable. The lawyer has just told that the man on the road was first approached by a priest, then a Levite. The lawyer at this point would not have been surprised to hear of a Jewish priest and Levite mentioned in this order, because he would have been very much aware that the Jews were divided into three classes. First the priests, second the Levites, and thirdly the whole house of Israel. So when Jesus narrated that the man was approached by a priest and a Levite, it would have been natural for him to presume the next person was going to be from the house of Israel. This was what would have been considered to be part of the socially accepted norm. Incidentally, the man that was attacked on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was more than likely a Jew themselves. So one can only imagine his reaction when Jesus mentioned that the third person was a Samaritan. To place a Samaritan in this context would have been the extreme polar opposite of the accepted Jewish social practice. To use a Samaritan was a deliberate act on Jesus' part. The choice of characters in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan is interesting, as is the person Jesus is giving this parable to, a lawyer, a keeper of the Jewish law and traditions. I believe that the choices of the characters can be just as provocative today as it was then. Firstly, the choice of the priest. In the parable, the priest didn't just walk past the injured man, he went to the trouble of passing by on the other side, indicating that he wanted nothing to do with the injured man or situation. The priest represents someone who is religious and readily proclaims that who they are and what they believe. But when the rubber hits the road, the question is, are they prepared to talk the talk and walk the walk? Secondly, the choice of the Levite. While Levites attend to matters of security, maintenance, and worship of the temple, they were also teachers and judges, thus being experts in the law. Therefore, it goes without saying that the Levite would have been well versed in the two great commandments of loving God and loving your neighbour. And conversely, it would have also gone without saying that the Levite would have been well aware of the law which compelled the Jews to help someone when they happened to come upon an injured person. Even though he was quite literally his neighbour, the Levite refused to even help his fellow Jewish brother. The Levite would have held a prominent position in the temple and been greatly respected publicly. In today's age, the nation of prominent people in God's church ignoring the law and breaking the law is sadly very recent and real. The Samaritan. Essentially, the Samaritans were sworn enemies of mainstream Judaism at the time. The brief history is the Samaritans were descended from Jews who remained in Israel during the Babylonian exile centuries before. They worshipped God in a different place apart from the temple in Jerusalem and considered themselves to be the true heirs of the Jewish tradition. Now, just quickly, I have another question for you. Honestly, have you ever chosen to walk on the opposite side of the street to avoid somebody you don't like? The reason is that I asked is to show you that the Jews hated the Samaritans that much that, forget your side of the street, the Jews would rather take the long way round in their travels than step foot in Samaria. They avoided the whole country of Samaria rather than to step foot in it. It must also be mentioned that the Samaritans equally hated the Jews because of the way that they were treated by them. This is precisely why Jesus uses the Samaritan in this parable, because he would be the least likely to ever help a Jew, or the least likely person a Jew would have ever expected help from. It is sad and interesting to note that at the end of the gospel, Jesus asks the lawyer, "Which of these three do you think was the neighbor of the man who fell into the hand of the robbers?" Even then, it's sad to think that out of hatred, the lawyer would not name the Samaritan, and instead answers the one who had mercy on him. At the beginning of the sermon, I asked you, "Who is my neighbor?" And you answered perfectly. I look at the rest of the world and I wonder, if I asked the world the same question, would they answer perfectly as well? We need to be reminded of the parable of the Good Samaritan and the powerful message it holds. For if we forget the importance of loving God and each other, what will the world become? It will become the exact opposite of the love that God wants us to share. A place of hatred, racism, segregation, violence, and the list does and can go on. Sadly, each and every day we see evidence of this. So, what is the answer? The answer is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let this and the parable of the Good Samaritan be the timeless reminder to ourselves, our families, our communities, and to the world. Amen.